Over here in Hebrews 11:11, it talks about Sarah. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. She bore a child when she was past the age, and she judged him faithful who was promised. You know, I got to talk on faithfulness. I had the privilege to talk to you about faithfulness. And I have talked with Kathy before. How many of you guys know the commercial that's from Allstate? You get Allstate insurance out here. It's like, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. Well, that's kind of pretty much my life, all right? And so the faithfulness of God all through your life, ladies, he is going to sustain you and he's going to take care of you. But let's see what the Word of God says about that, because sometimes we falter. And it says here that Sarah was, she deemed him faithful because she was able to conceive. But we're going to look at Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to jump from three different chapters in a very short amount of time. I like to teach the Bible, and so if you'll open with me if you brought one. If not, it's so wonderful we have it right on the overhead here. But it says in chapter 15, Genesis, verse 1, the Lord came to Abraham saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord, what will you give to me, seeing that I go childless? I have no heir in the house of Eliezer of Damascus. Will that be the heir? And Abraham looked and said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born from my house is an heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, the one that's from Eleazar, but it says here, the one who will be from your very own body will be your heir. And then he brought him outside, and they started counting stars. You know, this up there in Yucca Valley, that's one thing we have beautiful is beautiful nights. They don't even let you have street lights there because they don't want to dim the beautiful stars that are out there. He kind of brought him outside and he said, look towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so will your descendants be. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Do you want the Lord to count you as righteous? Raise your hand if you do. What does it say? Believe. Believe that the promises of God are for you. Believe that God can do anything, even when it's impossible. Believe that the Lord has nothing but the best for you. Did you know there's 991 promises God to man in the Bible? And maybe we know what, eight? One of my favorite ones is Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not distress or feel broken. Isaiah 26:3. I will keep her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon me. You want God to call you righteous when he looks out of all time because you believed? That's what it says here, the word of God. Grasp that, underline that. God counted it to him righteousness because he believed. Now we're going to jump over here to Genesis chapter 16. I told you we're going to jump, and we're going to jump rather quickly. So Genesis chapter 16, looks at verse 1. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, bore him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Hagar means flight, as in flight, like running flight or like flying flight, or it means a stranger in the Hebrew. I would call her name meaning trouble brewing. Yeah, trouble brewing, you know, cute little thing, Egyptian, they're really pretty, you know, and she followed her around the house all the time. And so it says, verse 2, and Sarah said to Abraham, now the Lord has restrained me from having a child and bearing children. Please go to my maid, perhaps often you can obtain a child by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. which I'm thinking she probably thought he would have said, "Surely not, I love you so much. I would never do that to you, Sarah. Where's your faith? Believe." But we'll read on. It says there, verse 3, "And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took her, and the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram, to be the wife, to dwell there, and they lived there for 10 years. She had pain in her heart. She was wanting to worship the Lord and trust the Lord, but things weren't happening in her time frame. Many of us, it says here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, "Why are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now you're looking to the flesh to be perfect?" So many times we begin on a challenge that the Lord gives us in our lives. Ladies, I'm not the kind of pastor's wife that can stand up here and tell you I haven't seen pain. Like I told you, I had a husband that died of cholangiocarcinoma, which is cancer. And I prayed and I prayed, and the church prayed, the world prayed. He is very loved and very much a man of God. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. And that surrender to believe, regardless of what it looks like, is what God is calling you and me to do, is to be faithful when it doesn't look good. When it doesn't look good, please remain faithful. Please cultivate that in your life. The word cultivate means to acquire, skill, grow. Let that take part in your life. Let faith start growing more and more. Verse 4, "So he went in with Hagar, and she conceived. And when he saw that he had conceived, her mistress, she became despised in her eyes." And now we see Sarah is just going to be like a normal person, and she's going to have resentment because this girl Hagar does get to have a baby and she doesn't. Sarai, her name actually means the lady of a clan, the lady of a house, okay? But God has a future still for her. Even in our failures, the Lord will navigate his will if you'll let him. He will correct the wrong. He will right what has happened in your heart to make it feel barren. Sarai said to Abraham, "My wrong be upon you." Now, I know how many of you are married in here. Have you ever done something wrong and then blamed him? Of course not, you're all spiritual, but I have done that many times. I've had something in my life, and I did something silly, and one of the worst things I can think of is one time I got in like a fender bender, you know, and I blamed him, and I was driving. It's your fault. It says here, "I gave you my maid to embrace," verse 5, "and when she saw that she couldn't conceive, she became despised in her eyes, and she said, 'The Lord judge between you and me.'" Sarah, first of all, shouldn't have been playing this word in Hebrew, which means matchmaker. It's called a yiddish. Y-I-D-D-I-S-H means matchmaker in Hebrew. Not yinta, which is the fiddler on the roof, which means a busybody. Okay? So she was actually matching her husband with this woman because she wanted a baby so bad. Have you ever wanted something so bad that that's all you think of? Morning, noon, and night? We don't want to fix it. Women, we are prone to fix it. We fix our children's knees. We fix our teenager's first broken heart. We fix our people at work. Then maybe many times you're more of the boss than the boss is, right? We want to fix it. And God just wants us to believe him. God just wants us to increase our faith. He doesn't want you to try to figure it out. Because when we get into this, when we get into our head, is when we make the biggest mistakes. And here we see Sarai, she had just made a huge mistake. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maidservant is in your hand. You do to her as you please. And then Sarah dealt harshly with her, so harshly that she fled from his presence. The Bible says in James 3:14, if you have bitter envy, which she did, striving, self-seeking, don't lie against the truth. And she was jealous and she wanted her gone. Think of how mean Sarai must have got if the desert looked better than her. I'm talking nothing. I know where nothing is. It's called Paradise Valley, California. No, I'm not kidding you. There's like 3,000 people that live out there. It's full of dirt, snakes, cactus, scorpions, tarantulas. And you know what? That looked better than Sarah. She's like, get me out of here. This is a mean woman. This is a woman that is bitter. Get me out of here. And she fled, just like her name, flight. Are you a runner? You know who you are tonight if you're a runner. Why stick it out and why fight? Just run. And maybe you don't run physically, but inside the heart, you're a runner. You just stop caring. No one knows, but God knows. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, verse 7, and by the spring on the way to Shur. The angel of the Lord found her. This is the first time the word angel of the Lord is found in the scriptures. And he comes along to little Miss Flight in the wilderness. And then he says to Hagar, little Miss Runner Flight, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing the presence of my mistress, Sarai. She is just horrible, and I'm going to come out here, and I brought my son with me to die. And the angel said, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. God looks at Hagar and says, why are you here? He wants dialogue with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to describe what you're going through to him. He wants you to paint a portrait of that person. Every detail, every hair on the eyebrow, everything is going on in here. He wants you to give to him. He knew why Hagar was there. He was part of all this. But he appears to her and he says, what's wrong? Girls, that's what God does to you. That's what God does to me. Merrily, what is wrong? Because he wants us to talk with him. He wants us to dialogue with him. He wants us to pour out our heart and become unburdened. Then we have to remember that he loves to go after those that have gone astray. Matthew 18:12, a man has 100 sheep, but if one of them goes away, he leaves the 99 on the mountains, and he goes and seeks the stray, and then when he finds it, he rejoices that no one is inadequate, and no one is less than anyone else in this room. You are all so valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's hop on down here to verse 13. It says, and she called the name where the Lord spoke to her, you are the God who sees. You're the God who sees everything I've been through. And many times you can't even articulate what you've been through. And I know, because I've seen a lot. But I'm here to tell you the faithfulness of the Lord is new every morning. His mercies towards you girls are new every morning. And don't stop. Don't give up. Because at any moment, what you're praying about can change. At any moment, the healing can come. At any moment, the answer to that very prayer can be answered if you don't walk away and if you don't become cold in your heart. Stay faithful. Stay in the race till the very end, and don't let anyone detract you from anything else that the Lord has for you. A wellspring, you are the God who sees. Thank God he is the God who sees. Can I get an amen? We can be Pentecostal. We get an amen, okay? Amen. He is the God who sees you, who sees me, and he knows it all. And some of you have had a hard life, and he knows that. He's the God who sees. You are the God who sees. And then she said, and I also am the one that sees you. And that's sweet. She said, Lord, you're the God who sees, but I see how great, I see how spectacular you are, God. And she named that well Ber Lahi Roy, or El Roy is what she's named it. And then let's hop over here. Uh-oh. What happened here? Excuse me. To 17. Chapter 17, we're moving quickly along. The word Abram actually is going to be changed in these next few verses, because Abram's going to be turned to Abraham, which means father of nations. And God changes you, and he changes your name. And Sarai is going to be called Sarah, who was the lady of the clan and lady of the tribe, to she's going to be called princess. The Lord understands. And what I love about the Lord so much, girls, with his faithfulness, is that he can right the wrong. You know, sometimes we just zigged when we should have zagged. All right? We meant well, but we didn't. And we failed. And our model of the faith in Hebrews 11:11, Sarai, the model of the faith failed. But you know what? She changed. She said, yeah, I failed there, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be a failure that for the rest of my life. I made a mistake, but that doesn't mean it's going to be like that forever. And so as this goes on, the story goes on, and it's a lengthy one, and I don't have that much time. But let's look at 17:15, and it says, God said to Abraham, as Sarah, your wife, shall not be called her name Sarai anymore, but Sarah, and that means princess, and I will bless her, and I will give you a son, and I will give it to her by her. She will be the mother of nations and the king of peoples from her. And Abram fell on his face, verse 17, and he laughed. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, you're good. Seriously. Father Abraham laughed at God. Now, you should feel just a little bit better about yourself right now. Just a little bit. I may have argued with God before. I may have doubted God before, but I'll tell you one thing I have not done. Is laughed. And look at here. Abraham fell on his face laughing. And he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who's 99 years old, bear a child? And laughing at God. And then verse 19, God said, no. Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Laughter, because you are being unruly. I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant, and also this descendants behind him. We see here how God's going, I'm going to call you out for this, Abraham, because he's going to deal with him in a different way than you've ever probably thought of before. Let's hop on over to chapter 18. And it says here, 18, the Lord remembered, appeared to him beneath the tamarind tree of Mamre, and he was sitting in a tent at the door in the heat of the day. If anyone knows heat, it's this lady and that lady. We know heat. We're talking Palm Springs, 125, 30 in the summer. Yeah, I kid you not. Okay? And so he's sitting out there in the heat of the day, not a lot of trees around him or anything. And so it says here, verse 2, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran to the tent door to meet them. He's sitting out there. He sees three people walking up. He runs out to meet them. And he just can't wait to hear what they have to say. When's the last time you couldn't wait to hear what God had to say to you? That you wanted to hear it so much? When is the last time that you ran to him, no matter what you were going through? He runs. He has an inkling it's God. Verse 9. And they said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" So he said, "She's here in the tent, Lord. She's right over there." And the Lord said, "I certainly will return to you according to this time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the door behind him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, that sounds pretty bleak. Try that one more time. Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
A resounding no. He can do anything at any time. And she was listening at the tent door, and now Abraham, his Sarah, was old, advanced in age, and had passed the age of childbearing. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Shall I have a child and have pleasure being so old? Oh, come on." And the Lord said to Abraham, get this, the Lord said it to Abraham. Why did Sarah laugh? Did he forget to tell her? Go back over here. The Lord appears to Abraham, and he says, "You're going to have a child." He falls flat on his face, laughing his head off. And now Sarah's hearing it through the tent. And so Sarah's like, at least she's not on her face laughing. She's kind of like, "But I would have a kid, you know." And he goes, "Why is she laughing?" To Abraham. Did you forget to tell her? Did Abraham maybe think it's so far-fetched that she'd laugh at me? Or it's so bizarre, why even tell her she'd doubt me? But he calls out Abraham, and he says, "Why is she laughing, Abraham?" God loves women. He does. He's a good God. He's a very good God. There's nothing like our God. I have looked into other religions. There's nothing like Jesus Christ. He loves women, and he watches, and he sees. He is the God who sees. And so he says this to dear father of the faith, Abraham, why did she laugh? Shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything, then here verse 14, is anything too hard for me? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and you will have a son. Sarah shall have a son. And we know that God listens to our conversations, girls. One of the things that we have to always be mindful of in this is God's hearing you. He hears your conversations. I have, in closing, a little story to tell you that I was invited to the pastor's wife conference. This was 18 years ago. I'd been married to Gerald, 17 years ago. I'd been married to Gerald 18 years ago. And I hadn't gone to the pastor's wife conference for a long time because when I went there for 30 years, I was Merrily Heather. And now I had remarried, and now I'm Merrily Hagerman. And I had to see all the Heathers, and then I had to be with the Hagermans, and I didn't know how to blend the two. So I didn't go to the pastor's wife for 3 years. Finally, they talked me into going. You're going to love it. You're going to have a good time. And so I'm there, and I told my daughter-in-law, who is Gerald's daughter, okay, we're driving down from Yucca Valley down to Marietta, and I looked over and I said, if I get one thing out of this, I'll be so happy. Just one thing. And she's like, well, I'll pray you do. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So we go in there. It's awkward, just like I thought it would be. And I sit a little bit towards the back, and I'm on my phone. And I text my really spiritual friend that's like me, and I said, they have a guest speaker. And then she texts back, lucky you. You know, this is horrible. Okay, don't tell anybody you're all my new best friends, so don't even say this. So if you call me on it, I'll just deny it. But anyway, so I said, I can't believe, you know, the lunch. She texts back. And then I waited a bit, and then they got up and they said, our guest speaker is going to come out. And some of you might remember this if you're at the pastor's wife's conference. And so all of a sudden, I text this. I said, silver spun hair, black dress, sensible shoes, .. LOL. You think pastors' wives aren't always that spiritual, okay? We have problems. We have days. We have things that bug us, all right? And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, you know, all of my cards, when I would send my, you know, give a card to Gerald or whatever, I would always call him Plan B. I would look at Gerald and I'd say, hey, Plan A went to heaven. You're Plan B. And so, and he'd love me. He goes, and I love being Plan B. And we'd hug each other. It was a good thing. It was. And so back and forth, all my cards, love you, Plan B. It was a joke. It was something we did. But how God hears your conversations? Well, as she gets up and she looks very spiritual. You know, there's some people that just look spiritual. Seriously, and she gets up and she walks up, and I'm just watching her now. I put my phone down, okay? She walks up, and she looks, she goes, I'd like to introduce myself. She goes, I'm Elizabeth Elliott. Get out of the city! Are you kidding me? And then I put my phone completely away and put it in my purse. Because I like Elizabeth Elliot. I've read every book she had, right? And I just now I'm like, oh boy, you're just an amazing woman. So I'm listening and I'm wanting to learn. And she does this. Where are you? Well, God wants you to know, whoever you are out there, and you're here, he has no plan B. I repent. Don't strike me. Seriously? I just went, and then she said, all your life, God will have plan A for you. Every step of your life is A. There's never a plan B. And you need to stop saying that. Seriously, you could have, I did this with my Bible. Here's my new little daughter-in-law. I shut my Bible like this. I said, we can go home now. Got everything that I needed to hear. Closing verse, Malachi. Just kidding. Closing verse, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Then those that feared the Lord spoke to one another, and he listened, and he heard them. Underline that. He listened and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for all those that fear the Lord and that meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. And on that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them, even as a man spares his own son who serves him. The faithfulness of the Lord is unfathomably rich, and you can never understand it. And all he asks of you to cultivate, to acquire, to glean, and to grow is to believe him. Increase your faith in the Lord. Increase what you've asked the Lord to do, and increase trusting him to work it out the best for you. But no matter what the answer, the plan is always A. Always A. Let's pray.